Hello and welcome to another episode of Having a Chat. My name is Tommy Casher and today I'm joined by Kim Green and we'll be talking to Laura Sherian from the Sunshine Coast Lightning. As has happened in the past couple of weeks, I'm joined by both my guests off the top of the show, Kim Green, Laura Sherian. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me. Kim, I'll go to you first, mate. How are you? How's life?
Good, thanks. Yeah, life is busy. I mean, I'm not certain what mat leave was. I think I probably came back a little early with things that I'm doing. But for me, obviously life's changed quite a bit. Have little Lennon with me now and I'm heading into the coaching space. So I'm coaching a Premier League team, which my first manager, Jan Troy of the Swifts, pretty much cornered me into doing. So here I am. I'm a coach now. Isn't that fun?
Is it everything you expected it to be?
I've got the best team, can I tell you? Like, it is a, like, my team is so good and they're just beautiful players. So they make my job very easy.
Lovely. Now, Kim, we are lucky enough to be joined by none other than Sunshine Coast Lightning speedstar, Laura Sherian. Shares, mate, you're joining us from a car. Thank you so much for making the time. Now, you girls had a win on the weekend, 59 over the Thunderbirds, 58. What did you make of the game?
Far out. It was a close game and it was close the whole time. Look, we've been watching Thunderbirds play throughout the year so far and they've just been growing and that's been happening over the past couple of years. They've been building these combinations and we knew it was going to be a tough game and it certainly was, but it really feels good winning by one as well. So to be able to pull through on those, you know, tight and close games feels really good as a group.
And Chez, for me, it's always interesting to hear the tactics around what a team does going into a team like a Thunderbirds. They haven't really had too much success. You know that their back is against the wall. They need a win. What was the tactics going into the game?
Yeah, definitely. We actually said that, like, teams that haven't won a game, they've got nothing to lose. They're going out hard. And they're quite hard to kind of prepare for because they have so many different combinations as well that they can put out. So me personally, you know, I was thinking of 3 to 4 different wing defenses that they could throw on me as an individual. But throughout the game we said, you know, we need to be consistent across the four quarters and keep our error rate low, and particularly, you know, settle on our feeds into the shooters, which it took us a lot to do that throughout the game. I thought that wasn't something that we did well.
Now, do you think your feeds into the circle was because of how well Shamira Sterling played, or was that just you and the other girls in the attack end not feeding as best as you could?
I think, you know, yeah, kudos to them. They played a really great game, and the defenders for their team were also awesome in attack, bringing the ball out and carried a lot of their ball. But for us, in terms of feeding, I just felt like our connection was slightly off on our timing from when we were hitting the circle edge to finding the shooters, and we needed to be a bit more creative in opening up the space for them and creating that movement for our shooters in the circle as midcourt.
And Chez, you've got a new partner in crime in that midcourt now that Laura Langman has retired. Mahalia Cassidy, an absolute superstar on the rise. How are you finding your combination with her in that midcourt?
I am loving playing with Harles, to be honest. She is one cool cucumber. She just, she just looks for the space and waits for the movement to happen and then injects herself into the game in attack. She's also comes up with a lot of ball defensively and I'm really enjoying building that combination with her. I, through some of my younger years, her very younger years, she's quite a bit younger than her. I played a bit sort of in A&L and that sort of thing with her. So knew a little bit about how she played and obviously played against her, but she's so smart to play with and I really appreciate her timing as a centre.
Yeah, someone else that got a lot of ball defensively was Pums Mwaini. Not surprising, but, I mean, 6 intercepts, 6 deflections, like she was huge. How important has her, I guess, connection with Carla been in the defensive circle gaining ball for you attackers?
Yeah, Pums is massive for us. I think in the first half in that game, she really kept us in it. by turning over ball and giving us more opportunity down the attack end, and I think we would have really struggled without her. Going to the game last week, she said, I'm going to get 5 intercepts, and she came one short, so she went one better this week, so good on Pumza. But she's such a strength for us down that end, and I think she really is also great for team morale. Like, she is an awesome team person and contributes so much to us, and we're really lucky to have her. And I think just she's my person who builds into the season as well, so she starts off pretty good, but she just gets better as it goes along, so it'll be really cool to see what she does in the back half.
And talking about the back end of the court, you look at a Kate Shimmin, obviously coming from the Adelaide Thunderbirds previously, playing against her old team. You saw her go, you know, throughout the season from goalkeeper through to wing defence now. What, I guess, versatility does she bring to the team, and how did she feel going into the game?
Yeah, Shimmo's awesome. She, when I heard she was coming to our club, I was so excited. She's a really cool person as well as a very versatile player. She works so hard at training and throughout trialing all those three positions. You know, she gets thrown in all three and all our practice matches and everything. And I think it was so exciting to see her come on and play her third position on the SSN court and get ball for us. And obviously against her old team, everyone wants to do well, and it can be a really hard thing to do. And she just came out and killed it, and I was really proud and excited for her.
Shez, you are, as I mentioned earlier, joining us from the car. Is that still one, the Ken Mills Toyota car that you and Steph would have, that I may have seen some sponsored content for? Is that, do you want to give a shout out?
Yeah, there's 5 of us actually that are reffing the Ken Mills Toyota car. We're very lucky to have an ambassador role with them, and we do some pretty funny stuff, that's for sure. Yeah, we get out there and do some ads, which are a bit of a laugh, but lots of fun.
Who's the best on the socials out at the Lightning, do you reckon?
We actually, all of us aren't great. We pretty much suck. Who would be the best? I think, Shimo's probably the most consistent. I would say she puts out the most content. She loves a good share, so she'll share anything.
Is that a dig? Like, she'll share anything? If I tag her in this, will she share this?
Yeah, she would for sure. If she gets a tag, she'll share. Yeah, so anything Lightning, she'll share. She'll put it out there. But in terms of coming out with our own content, that's a real tough one, to be honest.
I'll give you till next week. I'll give you till next week, and you've got to have an answer for us.
All right. I'll see what I can come up with. I'm terrible.
Shez, I think you're pretty good, actually. Cooking in the kitchen with Shez.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a rock-solid content machine right there.
I just need to be more consistent with it. I keep putting it out there. I just forget.
What, you need time?
Yeah, I probably need some more time, and I need to not eat it before I share it.
Mate, and
Shez, sorry.
No, you go, Kim.
Take over.
No, you go.
Shez, yeah, heading into next week, Firebirds. Local derby, always claws are out, can I say, as a New South Wales folk that plays derbies. What's the feeling going into this week?
Yeah, definitely. There's nothing better than beating the Firebirds at home, that's for sure. It's always a really tough competition. The feeling, I think we're mostly excited. Like, we get a home game, which obviously being away this week is exciting going into that. We haven't done any prep yet, so we'll head into that tonight. But, you know, the general feeling is excitement. Like, we love playing the Firebirds. It's always a good, tough match. They're obviously got a few different players going on and different combinations in there, and I think they're very difficult to prepare for as well, because you just don't know what you're going to get from them, especially in their attack end. They've got so many different players that can pop on to mix it up, especially with their shooters. They're obviously very physical defensively, and that's something that we need to get used to. But, yeah, no, we're excited for the match.
Did you happen to catch any of the Giants Fever game last night, Shez?
I did. What a match, hey?
As someone who's never played a game of netball competitively at the standard that you do, is RAC Arena, I think it's called, in Perth, is that one of the hardest away trips in terms of the crowd that they get there. It just seemed like there were so many moments in the game last night where the umpire was talking to Courtney Bruce or whoever it might have been, and they genuinely could not hear what the umpire was asking.
I actually love that. I think it's awesome. We played our second grand final there in 2018, and although the crowd was definitely against us, it was still such an exciting crowd to play in front of, and definitely the most we've ever played in front of. And in terms of not being able to hear the umpire, I reckon that's awesome. The louder it is, the better, and it's more exciting for netball.
Shez, obviously, I've played there quite a few times. We've had quite controversial matches over there from the Giants' point of view. We had a blood on sock, and we're playing with six players once. Yeah. Then there was a timer debacle when the time wasn't up, but the umpire called time, and then now this one. It is quite a stadium that you go into, and it's almost like it's suffocating because everyone is sitting on top of you. Do you feel like that as a player when you're playing?
No, to be honest, I don't even think about it. Any of the stadiums I'm in, once I'm on the court, I don't even notice that sort of stuff. Obviously, there's been a couple of times where I haven't been able to hear the umpire, and there was one game against it was against Firebirds. I think it was a semi-final or to get into the finals, one or the other. We only won by one or two goals. And I remember I was in centre, standing in the centre circle about to start the second half, and it was so loud I couldn't even hear the umpire blow the whistle at that stage. So I think it's only like little moments like that where I go, holy moly, this is crazy in here. But I also love it. I think even if it isn't for my team, it's just so exciting to be a part of it. I haven't been in any matches like that with quite as much controversy as you have, which might change my opinion on it.
Well, yeah. See how you go. Maybe we circle back, Tommy, after they've played over in Perth, because it is quite loud at the moment. You can hear it through the TV that the music is so loud, and then the umpires, they're fighting for a voice almost with the mics. So, it'll be really interesting to see once everyone's had a bit of a round over there to see what everyone's thoughts are.
And kind of what impact that has on the physicality of the game as well, because I think that like just builds up the emotions even more.
Absolutely.
And she has one last one before we let you go. When I spoke to you last time, you just bought a block of land with your partner, Josh. Have we got a slab down? Where's that at? Give us an update.
We haven't got a slab yet. Sunshine Coast Council, we're still waiting for approval.
What?
Shout out.
but I'm feeling like it's close. Look, I've picked all my tiles and all that sort of stuff now, which I say I picked them, but I pretty much sat there and got over it after about 5 minutes and Josh picked the rest of it. I was like, yeah, that sounds good. That's fine. So the exciting part, once it actually starts building, and I've picked my kitchen, and that's really all I care about. So
she has his kitchen. That's all that matters.
Absolutely.
Mate, Laura Sherian, thank you so much for joining Kim and I on having a chat. Best of luck against the Firebirds, 3 p.m. on Sunday? Saturday. Sunday. Yep. Sunday. 3 p.m. Sunday, mate. Yep. Best of luck. Hopefully we can chat again soon. But Laura Sherian, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much for
having me. Shez.
Thanks, legend.
See ya.
Kim, that was lovely of Shez to join us for a chat. What do you make of the Lightning season so far?
Yeah, I think they're tracking along nicely. To be honest with you, I thought they were a team that were going to have to find their feet in the first part of their season, losing Laura Langman in that centre position. She's such a critical cog to their wheel, and I really thought that they would take a little bit of time to warm up. But I think the inclusion of Vicky Wilson into their coaching staff has really ignited some fire in that attack end in particular. And you heard Shez talking about being a little bit more free on their feeds, and that's probably one thing that when watching the game you could really see the difference in the ability to give the ball when they're on the fly and they're up, as opposed to under pressure. So I'm sure they'll be looking at that going into the Firebirds game.
Were you disappointed for the Thunderbirds that they played so well and got so close to their first win of the season but then just couldn't hold on?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's gut-wrenching to see any team go through that, especially one that hasn't won a game yet. For mine, it's always a really difficult position to be in as a player when timing is everything, especially with a super shot. You could see their intent in trying to slow the ball down and make sure that they secured the win, but with that comes more opportunities to stuff it up too. So, and there's been many a times in my career that I've been on that end of it as well, where you're kicking yourself as to why didn't I just, you know, pass the ball in and just hope for the best in the rest. But these are the moments that you train for, and for it to go wrong, especially on an offside from Matilda Garrett, like, it's just one of those things that you're just like, as a coach, you can't prepare for that. You can't train for that, because that's just, you know, a bit of a brain explosion from a player. So, a tough one for Thunderbirds for sure.
It seems like a lot of the teams are messing around with the ball more in the circle in the last 5 minutes than they were last year. Is that an observation that you've noticed as well? Like, so many times they'll be in the 1 point zone, whatever we're calling it, and then they'll feed it back out to get into the two. Or sometimes the opposite, like Potgieter didn't want the two and was trying to get back into the one, and it's added another element, I guess.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because last year I think everyone was trying to find their feet, but you also saw scores really blow out last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was Hub Life or if it was the inclusion of the super shot, but this year the games are closer. You know, you have a look at the last round, all four games were so super tight. The Swifts versus Collingwood was the only one that blew out, but realistically only blew out in the last 5 minutes of the game. So when you're looking at it, yeah, players are now having to make the decision of far out, it's draw, like we're drawn at the moment.
Yeah.
Do we take the two? Do we take the one? Do we keep chipping away? And you can see them actually looking at the coach, do we go one or do we go two? Like, what are we doing? And I think the difference from last year to this year is the score difference.
Is that
teams have become a little bit savvy.
Is that something you've noticed on the sidelines with your role at Channel 9? Are the players actually looking at the coach asking what the go
Absolutely.
Is? Absolutely. Wow, that's fascinating.
Absolutely. So, yeah, and you can see them saying, and I think there's some teams have a little number that goes up, and in that 5 minutes, whether it's a two or a one, what they should be going for. So, yeah, it's quite an interesting strategy, because at the end of the day, as a player, you're playing and playing and playing. Sometimes you just don't understand where the momentum may be sitting within the game, but when you sit on the sideline, you can see it a little bit better, or you can see what the umpires are looking at, or you can have a little bit more of a strategy as to what you're doing. So, yeah, they're going to the coaches quite a bit. Joe Harden did it in the Fever game, and I also saw Helen Housby do it in the Swifts game.
Okay, so let's start with the Vixens Firebirds, the first game of the round. As a Vixen supporter, I am so happy that they got the win. And the debut for Rani Samerson, I mean, she came on and just looked like a seasoned veteran. I know she's played a lot of VNL previously and a lot of ANL as well, and has, was 2019 maybe or 18, she won the ANL Best Player in the Comp or the Shooting Award, something. So she's, you know, been destined to make it at this level for a while. But have you seen a debut like that before?
I don't think I have. And especially in the goaling end, she's exciting. Like, she's strong, she's tall, she can jump, she's got speed, she's got smarts, she can place a ball. Like, the whole package, to be completely honest with you. And I know Liz said it in the commentary, why hasn't she been picked up earlier? And that's my question. Why hasn't she been picked up earlier? Because I know she did have a knee injury in 2020 and was rehabbing throughout that. But, like, to think that they've only just signed her as a training partner this week to get her into the game blows my mind. It actually blows my mind.
It is interesting because, I mean, while I guess Rani was a training partner previously, then did her knee, then they've opted for Ruby Barkmeyer. Sasha McDonald has been in and around the Vixens, you know, shooting end for a while as a training partner. But then I actually found it interesting that Rani leapfrogged Kalia and Ruby for the starting spot. And then I guess once she, you know, Rani was playing well, they were never going to take her off. But the fact that she leapfrogged both of them for a starting position kind of remind me of a couple of years ago when MJ did her knee and Kim Kamane, now Kim Borger, came in for the last game and leapfrogged, who was it? Maybe Sam Gooden and someone else and just took the starting spot as well?
Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting process because as a player, it's all about pecking order, right? Not pecking order, but,
yeah, but it is, though.
You know your role within the team. So for Kaylee and Ruby, I'm sure they would have questions to ask of Simone. Maybe not now that they've won that game, but if they lost, there would definitely be some questions asked. But it's well within their right to be asking those questions as to why someone has leapfrogged. But then I question why she wasn't picked ahead of Kalia Stanton in the first place.
Yep.
You know, always bring nothing against Kalia Stanton, but the fact that you had to bring an import, not an import, a domestic import into your team.
Yep.
With that comes a lot of other things like housing and making sure that, you know, their well-being outside
and
of
settled the
game. It's a lot of like big toll, and we know that at Giants when we had a couple of imports within our team, you have to look after them and you have to really make sure that they're really well supported. So I think the question is a bit confused as to why she wasn't picked in the first place, but yeah, B, how did she jump ahead? Great decision by Simone, and at the end of the day you're a coach and you're based on your performances, and if she's made that coaching decision and she's made the right one, to be honest with you, like now what? Like that's my question, now what? Because I want Rani Samson in my team. Like you got to have her.
I would have thought so. I don't know how it's going to work as well, because like you said, she's only just been signed as a training partner now. Emily Mannix, I think it was reported that she's going to miss one more game and then come back. So then what do you... Mm. You can't get rid of someone's contract or demote someone given there's no ANL at the moment either. They'd have to be going back to playing VNL.
Well, you can.
Oh, can you?
I'm pretty sure you can.
Ooh.
I think you, within your training partner group, you can bring people up and push people back. And
okay.
Adelaide Thunderbirds did that a couple of years ago, where you saw a lot of training partners come in and out of the squad.
Right.
Don't quote me on it. So
not too late.
People don't come at me. Not nah. Wrong.
Everyone at Kim Green if you've got an issue, if it's not true.
I don't read rules, can I tell you? I'm very bad at rules.
Yeah, but who does? Who does?
Yeah, but I think in this sort of circumstance, you know, a contracted player, you're there to do a job, right? Like you sign a contract to do a job. If you're not performing at your job and the team is, at risk of not making finals and not performing well, and it's just like anything, any occupation, you have to have a look at how you can transition someone that might be doing a bit better in that role. So for mine, I would be looking at, obviously, Rani will get the start next week, I would assume. Maybe not, who knows, with Simone and what she's doing. But then from there, to be honest with you, Emily Mannix with a fractured knuckle, I would say she's probably out for more than just 2 weeks.
Yeah, it didn't sound right.
Probably six.
Yeah, I wonder if it's one of those things. Then they're just, you know, playing trickery, going, yeah, 2 weeks, and it's, oh, one more week.
It kind of happens in netball, unfortunately, and I've been on that end too. I've just said 1 week around your six. So, right. Yeah, for mine, I think a broken knuckle, most likely six.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
The Kim Green School of Medical Research.
Can I tell you, I can tell anyone what's wrong with me. I'm that in tune with my body.
Right.
It's so funny. Yeah. No, it's funny. Every time I tore a calf, I'm like, yep, that's the soleus where it attaches. Blah, blah, blah. And the physio is like, no, I don't think so. I'm like, no, it's a grade two.
It's actually, it's funny you mention that, because I reckon from an interview, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, I was listening to with Copes. He said at the time, well, were you married then? Or were you just
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. He said, my wife, Kim, she's a far more elite athlete than I have ever been. So that just, you know, backs that up.
Bless him. That's because he has to say that.
He's a smart man.
He is a smart man, isn't he?
Now, something else just on the Vixens game. I really like the injection of Ali Smith when she came onto wing defense. Not that Kate Eddie wasn't playing well, but I think, I don't know whether it's the younger players just have this burst of energy that they're kind of, you know, they've got ants in their pants waiting to get on the court, and their Ali's long arms and her quick feet. I thought she made a real difference.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, sitting in on commentary at the moment, you know, sit there getting your makeup done and looking all glam, and we often talk about some of the players that are coming through, and Ali Smith is one that's often talked about in our change rooms. And the thing I love about Ali is she's almost like that traditional Aussie wing defence, like a Renee Hallinan, someone that just actually really just is solid in keeping her player out of the game. To be honest with you, I don't know if we've seen that for a while with our wing defences coming through. They've almost gone in a different route where they've got players that are really exciting and powerful and take beautiful intercepts, but with risk, high risk sometimes, you know, you see a lot of the ball going over the top of them, and then obviously sometimes the ball is flying down the court as well. So I really like her. I think she, in the next couple of years, could really put a hand up for a Diamonds position if she keeps not changing her game. Like, just nail what you're doing right now, because I think that's what's been missing in that wing defence position for a couple of years now.
So do you think that that's junior netballers not wanting to be a defensive player, and everyone wants to play centre and wing attack and get all the glory? Because surely that's coming from the junior pathway stuff, isn't it? Or is it when they get to an SSN club, everyone's trying to add more strings to their bow?
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, you have a look at the likes of, you know, players that have been there previously. That's their strength. Their strength is their speed, their power, their closing speed. Ali's is completely different. She's able to keep the player up the court. She's got beautiful long arms, like you said, so can't see what you're doing. For me, I always hated playing against a Renee Hallinan or Ingles, because she was just suffocating. Like, she was never out of play. She's always got strong hands up. I could never take a deep breath and then go on with my game. Whereas, you know, the likes of the Brazzers, the Gabby Simpsons that go for flyers, yes, it was hard to play against them. They're phenomenal athletes. But sometimes it did give you that little moment of, oh, I can have a breather because I can use my body.
Right, okay. To
get a contact here or there. Bit cheeky. I was a bit cheeky as a player.
I'm so glad I'm recording this. I've got that on. I've got that on camera and on audio. How would you describe yourself as a player?
I would say smart, but I would also say fiery at the same time. yeah.
Did you go out there to intentionally get under people's skin? Like, is that a tactic that you know, if I'm physical with this player, she'll, you know?
I knew if I was, physical with certain players, I knew I could get the best out of my game for that. But a Renee Ingles, you're not doing that against her. She's not falling for that. She's too smart.
Very disciplined as well, isn't she?
Super disciplined. I think, you know, going into each game, I didn't go into each game going, this is, you know, I'm going to just replicate what I do. I'm good at this. Like, every game I changed up what I did. I sometimes never got center passes because I knew a Gabby Simpson was going to kill me on that. So let's get her on, like, the high ball into a second phase. Maybe I might get a chance there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was a very honest player, to be completely honest with myself and my performance, but honest with my players around me and understanding what their strengths were too. I think, you know, as much as like some of these young ones coming through are really putting their foot down now, it's longevity in the game is being able to work with the players around you and to win premierships. That's key. So, I'm really looking forward to some of the youngsters coming through and seeing what they do in their second, third and fourth year.
Next game, we had the Swifts and the Magpies. Magpies were actually pretty competitive, like you said earlier, up until those last 5 minutes.
Yeah, I thought they were really good in the first half in particular. You could see that they were shutting down the New South Wales Swifts centre pass setup in particular. I thought Braz was awesome on Haythornthwaite. Struggled probably a little bit more on Fraser, but there were some really beautiful matchups throughout the whole court. I think the Origin match-to-match, our head-to-head was Nelson v. Clough, and that didn't disappoint at all. Again, a game of two halves for both players. So, yeah, it's really interesting. I've done three Collingwood games now, and I love Richo and Nicole Richardson, the coach. I love listening to her. I love her enthusiasm and passion for the team. And you can see deep down she really cares for those players. So it's been really nice for me to see that side in the I don't think I've seen that from a player looking, you know, into their little squad and into their inner sanctum. But yeah, now that I get a little bit more of an inside scoop, it's really cool to watch.
It's really interesting you mentioned that, because I guess their club, along with the Giants and Lightning, was formed when SSN started. Now, I think most people could figure out, or they could identify an identity that the Giants and the Lightning have currently and previously, but I don't reckon you would have been able to say an identifiable brand or style or club that Collingwood were. Would that be fair, you reckon?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's just, there's so many personnel that have changed within and out of that that squad. It's really quite interesting seeing the ebb and flow of a team like Collingwood that have so much promise. You know, you start off with a Nat Medhurst within that team. Anyone with a Nat Medhurst, I'm thinking, is winning a premiership. Like, she's so smart and is a game winner, a premiership winner, to be completely honest with you. And, you know, Jeeva down one end or Shani down one end or whoever is there, you're just like, man, like, they've got the goods. And each year you're like, I can't write them off. But then there was just something missing. Was it the coaching strategies? I don't know. I have no idea what it was. However, I feel like there's a spark there. And although they lost on the weekend, they did some brilliant stuff, especially in that first half. Attack was flying. They were just throwing it from everywhere. And in defence, they were suffocating. So now I think for Richo as a coach, it's about being ahead of the game in, and as you know, when you're looking at coaches who do it so well, Nolene is the god, the dame of doing that. Like, she can read the game before it even changes, and she's already throwing players on before it even shifts momentum. So I think you know, she's obviously had a lot of experience under her belt, but Super Netball was a whole nother league, especially when you've got rolling subs and super shots and, you know, all of these extra additives to a game that is a little bit different to what you normally coach.
So Shimona Nelson has, I guess, stepped up her game to another level, I'd say, this year, especially the way she is taking the ball and her hands have become a lot more sturdy and safe. But it seemed to me during the game, obviously, you mentioned the first half, they were throwing balls from everywhere. Do you think having such a tall shooter can sometimes be a detriment, that you look at it as like a bailout option when you're struggling sometimes in that front third? You'll throw the ball expecting, you know, oh, Shimona's 6 foot whatever, she'll take it anyway. And then if the defense has sort of tightened up, it's not as much of a sure thing as, you know, it could be.
Yeah, it was quite interesting watching the two teams go about it completely differently, because you have a look at a Sam Wallace who is so devastating down one end and Shimona who could be so devastating down the other. Swifts don't feed the ball off the circle, the end. They work and work and work almost too much to get themselves into a position to make sure that feeds on. Whereas Collingwood and I think when I have a little thing in my ear when I'm commentating, I go to one here's inside scoop. I go to a huddle, one huddle, which I'm to the Swifts huddle, but I take my ear out because otherwise all I can hear is Richo in my ear talking and I can't hear what Bryony is saying. But apparently in one of the timeouts, she's like, just catch it and let it go. Just let go, like give it to her. But I think that's what was their downfall, right? Shimona's hands were a little bit soft, yes. However, they weren't giving her time to set up. But the Swifts defenders had completely changed their setup. They were doing a split circle but hedging. So it looked really open at certain times, but then they almost closed in on her as she went up for the board. That's scary. And, you know, any midi that would put their hand up to pretend to be a shooter should feel what it's like to try and catch those balls. So, yeah, I think the difference between the two teams was that Swifts were super patient, got it onto the circle, ankle was a sure thing that that ball was going in with no hands over, essentially, whereas Magpies were throwing it from everywhere, hands over. They're going over three or four defenders to get there. It's just too hard.
Now, I want to try and start a nickname that wasn't coined by me. It was actually coined by my girlfriend, Maddie, while we were watching the Swifts-Magpies game. Now, Maddie's favourite player is Helen Housby from the Swifts.
Yeah.
There was a point where Helen went off and hurt her hand or did something to her finger. And Maddie goes, what's happened to Helen Hot Stuff? What are your thoughts on Helen Hot Stuff? And then there was a moment where she came back on, scored a classic Helen Housby goal, and then she did a like her ponytail sassy goal attack flick. And I was like, Helen Hot Stuff is a pretty good nickname because she just has that attitude, like she owns the court kind of vibes. What are your thoughts?
And she is hot stuff, like actually physically and as a netball player, her abilities out there is really cool. So I think it kind of suits her.
Yeah,
with you. But like, nice. Well done, Maddie.
As a guy, I don't want to, you know, own that nickname because I don't know. Can you say that? Can you not? I don't know what the rules are anymore. I just, you know what I mean. That's why you've endorsed it. So it's fine.
Endorsed by Kim Gray. Can I tell you the Twitter?
Oh, Netty Twitter. Hey, mate, crazy.
It's been interesting day, I would say.
Did you know how crazy netball Twitter was while you were a player?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So I've just recently joined this bandwagon.
Yeah. I think the last couple of years it's definitely I think the hub for everyone, or COVID, has really pushed people onto social media, having a little bit more voice. And I think it's great. You know, you see the likes of some of the characters that you can see in the fans and the members that are now starting to create some really awesome content within Twitter. With that, for me, when I was a player, you often just got hate mail, really, to be honest with you. And it wasn't one that I loved being on Twitter because everyone sees it, right? Mm. Whereas if you get an Instagram, at least you can just delete it and just go, no one saw it. But when people can, it's just open forum, it was like a forum, which can also get nasty sometimes. So, yeah, it was a really interesting one. You know, looking at the last, I know we'll probably touch on it with Joe Harden.
Yeah, let's do that now.
Yeah. That's a hard one, right? Like, no one, no player, but no one in life deserves that sort of messages, especially when you're just trying to do your job. And unfortunately for this person, who was, when I looked at it, a young girl, you know, this could also be a really hard time for her because I don't think she probably realized what she was doing or, you know, emotion gets the better of you and sometimes things just come out. And so it's a really tough one in the fact that, yes, we have to call it out, but I think we now need to just be like, okay, there's also someone behind that little phone that has said things that may need a little bit of support too. I just found it a really hard position to sit in the fact that hard no, you can't be sending those messages, the end. But let's just call it out and let it go. Like,
I am,
my opinion.
Yeah, I am glad that Joe called it out because I think...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why netball doesn't get enough coverage, but for whatever... I don't think enough column inches, enough time on radio, enough anything, to be honest. But the fact that it takes something like this to draw attention to a negative out of the game that was so amazing, now this is almost half the talking point out of the game. And it's just really disappointing that – and I'm sure the girl that wrote the comment to Joe is obviously a netball fan. Like, she was watching the game. So it's just disappointing that we've got to do so much to get those column inches and to make noise for netball. And then – one person, you know, has a bit of a brain fade, as you mentioned with Tilly Garrett, you know, going offside. This is kind of a supporter just having that brain fade.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, I think, you know, if anyone was to do that whole thing again, I'm sure if they were behind that keyboard, they would regret doing it. So definitely needs to be called out. Joe definitely did the right thing. But I think we also need to be mindful of, the next part of that. And you've seen it so many times when an athlete gets hate mail and then everyone goes after that person. So we can't just keep, creating hate.
Mm.
So I think, it's just really important. Yes, call it out. It's not acceptable. Athletes won't accept it, actually. And I love that there is now a platform and people have the voice to do that, because when I was in playing in my younger years, I was very scared of doing that for the backlash. I like what Joe's done there.
Something that I do love about obviously the socials as well is I saw last night, or maybe it was this morning, Jamie Lee Price was jumping on Twitter and getting involved in where people were saying she was too physical and she was rough, and even Sue Gordian and Jamie Lee Price were literally having not a Twitter war, but like Sue, and she did on the commentary last night say,
clarifying
what was said, and I really like that. And then Sue Sue said, you did have a couple of brain fades in the second half that were obvious contact, and Jamie Lee was like, yep, that was on me, that was my bad. I'd like that you get to know Jamie Lee and how she talks and the language she uses and getting to know the players a bit better.
Yeah, and can I tell you, Jay is one fierce competitor on court, but she is like a little kitten off the court. Like,
really?
She is like a little rag doll that you pick up and just want to cuddle. Yeah, absolutely. Would not hurt a flea.
Flea or fly?
Hard. Fly, flea, flea?
You wouldn't hurt a fly.
Oh, I heard a flea. Maybe it's Sydney folk. Well, I was talking about kittens. So
okay. Yes. That clarification. Yes. Lovely.
But she's the sweetest little thing. And, to be honest with you, like, you'd be running alongside her and then all of a sudden you might just move into her and get a hip of hers and you're corked. And you're like, Jay, you just hurt me. And she's like, I didn't move. And then you look at the footage and you're like, ma'am, she didn't move. Like, but I've got a cork for 3 weeks. She's so strong, like the strongest player I've ever played against.
Yeah.
And I think some players can play to that a little bit, just like what I was saying earlier. The more physical, strong, fast, powerful athletes, you can get yourself into positions to make sure the umpire pulls them. That's a smart player, a smart wing attack, and I think we're seeing a few of those at the moment. But I like that she's been sticking up for herself and clarifying and having, just honest conversations with Sue as to, I didn't think it was that. Maybe you didn't see everything that was happening on court because I was getting hit from behind or whatever she was saying. It's quite an interesting scope that, not often do players come out and go, hold on a second. Like, this is actually what happened.
And I love that Jamie was like, it was literally a respectful conversation. It wasn't like, I didn't do that, you're wrong. It was, I think it's a lesson. Yeah. Like, if you do want to tweet to a player, I'm sure they will respond if you're, measured and pretty fair in your initial tweet to them.
Yeah, and I think the great thing about sport is that you can have opinions and you can sit there and create some really cool content based on your opinions. But I think, when I was going to bed last night, I was thinking to myself, if you wouldn't say it to someone's face, then just don't say it. Like, if you can't have an honest conversation, then don't say it. If that's not you, that's not you. But, I think there's some, I think, it's tough that this is ourselves onto mainstream media, but I also love that players are now starting to stand up for themselves a little bit and showing character, which we have forever and a day tried to put a lid on, not media, but organizations in netball in particular have put quite the lid on that. So I'm loving seeing personalities.
Now, what did you make of the game last night? Fever Giants, the 1 point. Did you think it was a hell ball by Joe at the end? Taking off your orange Giants hat, obviously.
No, I know. And to be completely honest with you, I went to Twitter this morning with my thoughts, which some people didn't particularly like. But
that doesn't sound like Twitter. Are you sure?
No, but that's okay. I like it. I like a conversation. But I think it wasn't a held ball, but you've got to remember these umpires have probably also done quarantine.
Yeah.
They're exhausted. They don't get looked after like players. Then they have to go into that stadium. No one can hear a thing. Like, to make a decision on the spot in that last second to win a game is tough. Wasn't a hell of a ball. But if we have a look at it, Giants had every opportunity
to
win that game. And what I said was they had one gain in defense and seven turnovers. You can't win a last quarter or win a game against a Fever who are the best at being able to score off turnovers. They're just like, you can't get the ball off them. They're amazing. Like, Janiel Fowler is amazing. You can't give up that ball. So they had every opportunity, and I'm sure they'll be kicking themselves, and that's probably something Julie would have said to them. And knowing, being in that position before, that's exactly what Jules would have said.
Now, speaking of Jules, I don't want to be controversial, but I want to put to you what I think everyone is thinking.
Okay.
Can we sort out the Giants coaching staff with better shirts than the ones they're currently wearing? Because they're not doing anyone any favors.
You don't like them?
Oh, Kim, come on. Come on.
Shiny orange.
The shiny orange is just not a...
Shiny orange.
I don't understand why... I don't think it's a... Obviously, the coaching staff of each club are all female, so it's got nothing to do with, you know, picking on women's clothing. That's not what it is. Just those orange shirts are quite ugly.
So what would you dress them in?
Yeah, that's a good question.
If you're such a fashionista.
I don't know if you've looked at my
Instagram. Orange is not a good colour.
No, it's a really hard colour to deal with. And I don't know if you've looked at my Instagram yet, Kim, but you need to, because I am a fashionista and I pride myself. So what I would like to volunteer to do, I'll take Julie shopping one day. We can go, we can find something that I think is more fun. If we can't find anything, why not just go with the, you know, charcoal and orange polo? Because I think Stacey Marinkovic is the only one that rolls with the team polo on the bench.
No. You can't be wet. Okay. This is what happens in netball.
Okay.
You become a coach, here's a polo. No.
What do you wear on the bench of your Premier? Is it Premier League? Is that what we call it in Sydney?
Yeah. I've got a zip-up jacket, and then I wear some black jeans and cool Adidas shoes. But you're not going to see Julie Fitzgerald in that.
Do you roll your jeans up, like two rolls?
Well, no, definitely not. I don't have small enough calves for that, to be completely honest with you. Like, you can't expect Jules, who is like a poised lady, can I tell you? She's not going to be rocking around in a blazer like Firebirds. It's cool for them. It's cool for Collingwood. Jules is different.
Okay. But do you think it's a nice orange blouse, or do you think there is something that might be a bit...
I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know what's out there.
Yeah, okay.
You've got to also like pick something that's available, and no one putting orange out.
Yeah,
like,
orange is
so... Let's do a line of orange blouses. I think that's a good choice. No one says that. No.
I just want to make it clear that, like, I'm just having a bit of fun. Before people at
you
me.
You better make it clear.
Yeah.
Because people will be at you like...
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest issue is orange is a really hard colour to find any clothes in, full stop.
Good on nails, but nothing else.
Good on nails. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. I appreciate the feedback.
Write that down.
Yeah, write that down. Yeah, pink's my go-to colour. So, I mean, the Thunderbirds. Okay. What did you think of all the Indigenous dresses? Do you like them all?
I love them. Love them.
Which was your favourite?
I love Thunderbirds. I love that the pink went to red. That's very cool.
Love. What are we? Ombre? Is that what we're calling that?
Ombre. That was cool. I always love the messaging around Giants because I know the storyline. And Crystal Dallinger, who is the designer, she has a storyline that goes with it, and each year it's something different and it brings in something else. So that's been really cool and consistent.
Culture to Canvas, I believe, on Instagram.
Yes. Yes, she is. And she's phenomenal. And I've just bought a big painting off her for, like, Trent's from Bathurst. I'm from Sutherland Shire, but with Lennon now being from Sutherland Shire, and she's done this beautiful artwork that molds our family. So, so she's really, really cool, and she's been in the netball pathway, and yeah, it just really puts a lot of time and effort. And I just love the consistency that the Giants have gone with that one player, as opposed to going to different artists each year.
Yep.
I love Fevers. I'm loving Fevers Green at the moment. I think they're good choice, like Kermit Green, like that bright.
Is it a lighter green than it has been previously? Whatever it is, I think it's better than what it was.
Yeah, more fluoro or something.
Yeah, okay.
It's a bit more fluorescent in it. So, yeah, to be honest with you, there wasn't one that I didn't like. I think they all had beautiful parts. I love that Swifts did a circle for their bib. That was really cool. But, yeah, I would say Thunderbird's colourings are always going to be good, because pink for young females, or, you know, I think that's a really cool color.
Or males.
But yeah, I love, yes, or males, exactly. Or, you know, Lennon actually looks very good in salmon. That's his color. So,
mate, you mentioned that you're from the Sutherland Shire, Trent's from Bathurst.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to make a petition with Sam Pullman to bring back the Hunter Jaggers, obviously to extend the SSN competition. Sam said she'd be happy to be assistant coach. Would you be interested in joining the Hunter Jaggers when we get that going in the next couple of years?
Hunter Jaggers. Maybe. I don't know if I want to be a head coach.
What?
Why did Sam opt for the assistant coach?
Well, she said there's too much pressure to be the main gal. Yeah.
There's no winning as a head coach, nah. Can I tell you, being on a player's side and hearing players come to you with often feedback on everything, there's no winning.
And then you got dickheads who have podcasts who criticize what you wear. So, I mean, you just can't win.
Correct. Like, who would want, like, it's blue and yellow. Like, is it the yellow blouse it's going to be, or... I don't know. I would hate for, you know, Tommy to come at me for what I'm wearing.
Side note, I don't think blouse is a great word anyway. Like, you can't win. You're wearing a blouse. Like, what even is that? Is blouse just a top with no buttons?
I would say it's a more dressed up than a button up blouse.
But, like, I'm wearing a shirt right now, but if this shirt I pulled over my head and it had no, like, if a, yeah. What's the difference between a t-shirt and a blouse?
I don't know. Well, I feel like it's a bit more flowy blouse.
Oh, mate.
Canvasy that you've got on. Anyways, like, maybe we need to Google that and put it across the screen as to what a blouse actually means.
Oh, mate, Kim Green, I've taken way too much of your time and now I'm just talking shit, so I will let you go. I'm sure Lennon is, you know, he's needing you wherever he is. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I hope we can catch up again before the season is out. But Kim Green, thank you so much for your netball insights and your time. And thanks so much for having a chat.
You're so welcome.